So maybe you should work this way. Look at it backwards. First off, I want a yes or a no. I earned the yes or a no because I did a really good job explaining what my product does, asking questions, and facilitating the process. And the guy promised me a yes or a no because I set it up that way in the beginning. And I know this product works because I have other customers it's been working for. I very carefully examine the company. I'm very confident that my company is a good company. It's worth the money. That's why I'm working there. Does everybody like that so far? Anybody want to comment on that?
Yeah, Paul, this is Steve. I like the concept of letting them know that you're going to be closing them at the very beginning. I mean, they don't know that, but that's the whole premise, is that you've closed before you even got, you know, to the third milestone.
And let's use the word asking them for a decision today. I'm going to ask questions and learn more about your company. I'm going to explain my product and service. But the only one who can decide whether or not this makes sense for your business is you. You've been running your business for 25 years. I know my product really well, but you're the only one that knows your company. My goal is to explain my product or service well enough so it'll be easy for you to make a decision, yes or no. So do we have a deal on that part, Steve? Can you tell me yes or no at the end? I'm just role-playing here.
Right.
You guys are going to say yes, right? I'm going to do an I know I'm confident that I'm working at the right place. I've learned my product very well. I've done a lot of training and effort to be really good at what I do. So I am earning the right, and I'm going to spend the time to explain things to the prospect. And I'm going to earn the right to ask for a decision, and that's what a close is. I'm asking for a decision. I'm not asking for a yes or a no. I'm asking for a decision. I know for a fact that I'll get enough yeses because of all of the above. All right, now how do I get to that point? Well, I had to have controlled the process so we could stay on track. Otherwise, I can waste the 20 minutes we have talking about nonsense. The prospect's not really going to understand what to ask me yet. I know what he's going to want to hear before he knows what he wants to hear. So I'm going to control the process because, you know, I'm the one that knows how to do the tango. You don't. So if you want to learn the tango, just follow me. What do you know? Right? Why would I want to follow his process? What does he know about my product or service? Nothing. So you have to make up your own mind. Who's in charge here? Are you the one that's going to control the process? Are you going to let the prospect control the process? You have to make a decision up front, just like the guy going to the military needs to make a decision. I go to number three. You have to decide on what process you're going to follow, it, and master it. Doesn't that make sense? How can you effectively communicate complex concepts and information if you don't have a systematic approach? That's very unprofessional. Not to have a systematic approach to communicate to someone. You're taking up their valuable time. They've agreed to hear you out on your product or service to see what you can do for them. You're going to wing it? You're going to make phone calls all day? That's a disservice. You don't deserve their time. There's nothing to control, and you don't deserve a yes or a no. To get them onto the phone, you have to get a presentation appointment scheduled. And to do that, it takes a lot of X amount of calls, and you have to be at work cranking out calls to get those presentations set up. Otherwise, you're not going to be talking to enough people during the week. So either frontwards or backwards, so you understand why the five factors of success is comprehensive. Is there anything that I should add or take out of this process? Is there anything required that it's not in there? Or is there anything in there that's not necessary?
Nope, that's about as elemental as could be, Paul.
Paul, my thing is, I'd say that I wouldn't say that there's anything that he's added or taken out, and I think it's been very helpful to me. And I would say that I've definitely on the closing, I spend too much time calling people back who have put me off and not been tough enough on my closing with them to get an answer yes or no.
Why does that happen?
Because I'm not strong enough on the phone with them, and really need to be stronger.
Well, you're never going to be stronger. Let's face it. You are who you are, now what? So you're telling me the only way you're going to be successful in sales is to change your personality, correct?
No.
No, well, that's what you're telling me. Because, you know, you told me this 8 months ago, too. You haven't changed yet, and if I come back in 5 years, you're not going to be changed then. So now what, Mark? What you're telling me is simply, I want to play basketball, I want to be a center, but I'm only 5'4". And everybody else is 7'3". So the only thing I need to do is be 7 foot three, and I'm all set. And I'm saying, well, Mark, it's kind of too late for that, isn't it? Unless you're going to surgically implant stilts in your legs, you ain't never going to be 7 foot three, so maybe you're playing the wrong game. You ever think of that? Right, Mark?
No, what?
You're telling me that you need to be stronger. Obviously, not going to be
altering your body is the same difference.
It's not going to ever happen. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you why. Do you need to be stronger to do this?
No.
Well, Mr. Pollard, for one second. Well, Mr. Prospect, I really appreciate you taking some time, and I want to make really good use of your time. I know you're busy, so here's what I want to do. I'm not going to play any sales games. I'm not here to sell you anything. What I'm here to do is show you the product that I have. And the only thing I'm asking you to do at the end is tell me yes or no whether or not you think this is in the best interest of your business. Because, you know, you're the one that's been running your company for, what, 25 years? You tell me. And at the end, that's what's going to happen. You're just going to tell me, well, Paul, I think this is not going to work for us. And I'll say thank you very much, and I'm done. But what I really don't want to hear is maybe. You're the CEO. You make decisions all day. I'm sure you can tell me yes or no. In other words, I'm speeding this up because I might take a couple more minutes and not really detail it out. But, Mark, anybody can do that, whether or not you're strong, quote-unquote, or not. Do you understand now what I'm getting at?
Sure, I understand.
That's what you have to do. You're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which, by the way, is a definition of insanity. Okay? What you're doing is irrational behavior. You know who you are by now. You're not 18. You're not 16 years old. You know your personality. It just doesn't lend itself to the hard close kind of approach. You know, maybe ice hockey is not your game. You know, maybe you should be playing something else. What I'm saying is, you can make a simple, rational, low key. By the way, it's a nice low key approach, business arrangement. Say, sir, I would like to ask you for a favor. Well, what's that? Well, the way I look at my job is, I'm not here to sell people things because I can show you my product. I know it really well, but I don't know your business as well as you know it. So the only way we're going to know if this makes sense is for you to tell me. I have no idea. I wouldn't presume to tell you what to do. So I'm going to, over the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to do my best to answer you, show you everything, answer all your questions. At the end, only thing I really want is to say yes or no. I just don't want a maybe, because I really am too busy to be calling people back who can't make up their mind. And as a CEO, I'm sure you can appreciate that decisions have to be made, and the CEOs make them, right? So at the end, you just tell me, hey, Mark, this looks like this is, you know, what you said is, it's in the best interest of my business, I want to go forward, or it's not. That's it. And that'll take care of that. Does that work for you, Mark?
Yeah.
And that's your approach from now on. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's...
Andy,
yeah, go ahead.
I want to comment on that. I would say 99% of the calls that presentations that I've been doing, I've not controlled the process at all in that regard, because I want to think about it, and commitments, half-assed commitments, and none of them, I have never expected a decision or let them know that I want them to make a decision in the end. And I'm adding this into one of my milestones, total milestone going forward.
Excellent, Sandy. I appreciate that. And all five of these factors, in their own way, are critically important. A lot of people don't want to talk about the call volume one because, well, my boss is going to yell at me for not making enough calls. Well, a lot of bosses did that, and that's why it's negative reinforcement. I'm not going to yell at anybody for not making too many calls. I'm going to tell them, what are your earning goals? Let's work backwards. If you want to do a sale a week, right, and one out of five people will buy from you, then you need to do, on average, one presentation per day. And if it takes 20 calls to set up a presentation, you need to do 20 calls a day. So your goal then, if you blow off a day, now you have to do those 100 calls in 4 days. That's 25 calls a day instead of 20. If you blow off 2 days, you're trying to, that's 5 pounds of you-know-what in a three-pound bag. It's not going to work. So what you need to do is, from that point of view, it's your goal right now. All you're trying to do is crank out, you want to get to that one presentation a day, because you'll know one out of five will buy, you'll get your deal, and you're making your money. You're working backwards. Now it becomes your goal. Instead of someone telling you what to do, it becomes an internally motivated goal. You're internally motivated now to make those calls. If you understand why you're getting rejection on calls, that's another reason people don't make the call volume. They get hung up on, I'm not interested, da-da-da. Well, if you act like a salesman, if you act like a sales rep, people will not want to talk to you. They will not want to take your calls or try to blow you off. If you call and say, the reason I'm calling today is because I had an opportunity to work with a company that was exporting scrap metals out of Duluth, Minnesota, and we together worked together, did analysis, and discovered that they had about $800,000 of export benefits they failed to claim, and that we got captured that money for them, and they got that money back from the government. They literally qualified for this program and never claimed it. And we know that's very common in the scrap metal industry, so I was calling you to find out if that may be true with your business. Really? Well, how's that work? Blah, blah. Well, the way we'll do is we'll do this analysis. We'll put all our people on it. We'll find out. We'll find out whether or not that works for you. You know, the way I look at this is I have no idea. I'll explain how our program works, and then you explain. You can make a decision then whether or not you think this is in the best interest of your business, and I just don't work with maybes. Can you give me an answer, yes or no, for absolutely sure, Sandy, yes or no? At the end. See, I mean, you can get a firm commitment right there. Will you give me a yes or no, Sandy, instead of a maybe? Then the guy will call him. I'll say, well, you know, Sandy, I appreciate that you want to think about it, but you told me 20 minutes ago that you're a CEO of your business and that you make executive decisions all the time and that you absolutely would do one for me. So are you saying that I did a bad job? I didn't do my job explaining my service? Oh, no, he did a good job. Well, then you are a man of your word, aren't you? Sandy, I'll put it all the way down the line. So, Sandy, let me get this straight. Are you telling me that you'll say something in 20 minutes and then completely not do it 20 minutes later? I'm not sure if I want to do business with you anymore. Why would I want to do business with something like that? That's where I'll take it. Showing up every day and doing the call volume, and there was commitment to a certain productivity level, so many presentations, is pure number games that people should do for themselves so you're internally motivated. Rejection is usually a fault of your approach. You're trying to sell things to people instead of trying to help people. If you have a service orientation and that's your primary goal is to help them, like I helped this other person, I was thinking, I want to know if I could help you too. If you use that approach, all their defenses will go down and they will talk to you. You'll have 100-to-1 less rejection. Because why would you want to reject someone that's obviously trying to help you? They're not trying to, you know, con you or hard pressure you or sell you or anything. And then you set up the call. Well, you've got a systematic process. You're not wasting your time. You're really an expert at your product. And in advance, you simply get a gentleman's agreement here. Say, look, I'll take the time and I'll work and I'll explain this to you. Let me explain it to you. No, I'll answer all your questions. Don't worry. I'm not like you have to keep, well, how about this? Well, how about that? That's because they really don't want to listen to some salesperson for 20 minutes that obviously could care less about them and trying to hustle them. So what they do is they preemptively cut you off and try to get you to go to the cut to the chase because they don't want to talk to you anymore. What? What? Just tell me. What's the price? I don't want to get out of here. That's what they're thinking because you're obviously a self-serving con artist. So is it any wonder why they can't control the presentation? If you were actually trying to help them, you know what they would do? They would sit back and listen to you. They wouldn't even interrupt you. Because it's obvious they don't need to because you're doing a good job of helping them right now. You don't have to goad the person. They're not trying to hustle you. They'll wait. Especially if you say, that's no problem. I'm really happy you brought up that question. As a matter of fact, that's really nice. I'll cover that in a minute. I'll give you all the information you need on that. Just 1 minute. I just want to finish this first, and I'll cover that for you. Don't be polite. If you're being polite and civilized and you're not trying to con them, don't be polite back. Why is this so complicated? You mean, Paul, we have to actually go to work in the morning? Well, yeah. You mean I actually have to, like, do things when I go to work? Well, yeah. You mean I actually have to, like, know what I'm doing and get good at it? Well, yeah. You mean I have to, like, kind of take the lead since I'm the expert on the product and, you know, I'm to myself? Oh, yeah. And I should ask people to make decisions? Yeah. Oh, okay. I can do that. Anybody got any other questions or comments?
Paul, when I've been asking people now recently when I first get on the phone with them, like, are you the person that makes that decision? Because I've had sometimes presidents or not necessarily owners or CEOs. So where do you go with that when they say, well, not really? Or I have to, you know, it'd be a group decision.
Is there anybody else involved in decision-making if you were to adopt this type of product or service? Is there anybody else that would be included in the decision-making process within your organization? Well, the CEO would have to, okay. Anybody else? How about anybody in finance? Well, yeah, the CFO, okay. Anybody else? No, that's about it. Okay, good. What I propose we do here is, how about if I give you the brief overview to see if you're comfortable of setting up a meeting so we can get into more detail with the rest of your team? And I would actually present them to them on that basis, and I wouldn't ask them for a decision. And I absolutely would spend the time with them because I'm one step closer to a deal. If I could feel champion the cause, I got an inside guy who will champion my cause, right? And all it took me is 20 minutes on the phone. What else are you doing that's more important than that? To answer your question.
Well, yeah, because you're still asking for him a decision from he or she to basically take the information you gave them and to do something with it. So you are still giving a decision.
I'll say, look, all right, you can more specifically say, at the end of this call, what I really appreciate is a yes or no whether or not you feel it would be advantageous for your company and therefore you want to take it to the next level. Can you continue to tell me yes or no then? You can absolutely, that's a good point, Sandy. Thank you. I would get a commitment from a yes or no to get it to the next level. And that's a more general concept than just a yes or no whether or not you want to buy. That's, how come nobody ever asked me about call volume? The close thing gets everybody excited, though. Probably because the people who come to these calls already work their ass off. They don't have to talk about call volume. They're already working hard. They just want to know how to close the deals they're working on. Is that about right, Sandy?
My call volume is the least of my problems, personally.
Well, I appreciate it. In general, though, it's the most of other people's problems. In general, in sales, a very big problem. It's huge. I mean, every one of these is important. But, of course, call volume is that people just have bad habits and they're lazy, and, of course, they never want to admit that. So the magic of getting a decision is to, in advance, set up a commitment, a promise that they'll give you a decision, and then to earn the decision, and then to demand a decision. And here's one more thing I'll add. You ready for this one? Are you ready for this one?
We're ready.
Yep.
Never, ever, ever call back. Never. If you get an excuse, well, call me next week, don't ever. You just say, well, no. What? There's no. Why would I want to call back? What are we going to talk about? Right? You have what you need right now. Do you have what you need right now to make a decision? Yes, no. Is there anything we left out that precludes you from making a decision? Now, if they say, look, I need to consult with the CFO, well, when I asked earlier, is there anybody else in the decision-making promise? No, I don't remember the CFO's name being mentioned because I was making notes. He said, nope, I just do it myself. So either you're stalling me or you're a liar. Which one is it? I'm not going to say that, but that's basically what I'm going to imply, right? Well, I don't really have to have this, but I value his opinion. Oh. I value the Pope's opinion, but I'm not going to call him up to buy a sofa. Like that one? I mean, whatever. I mean, what does that mean?
No.
What that is, I'll tell you what that is. It's the effective way that they found to stall. By claiming they need to consult with their lawyers, their accountants, they put a stall out there that you can't answer. Well, yes, I can answer, and here's how I do it. You know, it's kind of funny, John, because when I asked you earlier if there's anybody else to make, you know, necessary to make this decision, you know, you never mentioned your attorney. And I've been, you know, in this profession for many years, and here's what I found. Anytime a CEO ever tells me he has to talk to his attorney, it's because he doesn't want to make a decision. And every single time, the attorney will kill it because he doesn't want to put his ass in the line recommending something. If it goes bad, then the CEO blames him. So they, attorneys and accountants both know that it's easier to just to say no and forego a loss, because you can't measure lost opportunity as you can measure the investment. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not calling back because I just don't do it. I don't play that game, you know, and I really like to hold you to your promise that you give me a yes or a no right now. So if you'd like to tell me no, go ahead. And then plan B will be what you're doing right now, which you already know doesn't work. I've given you plan A. I've given you the solution you want, that you need. And plan B is that you're not going to make a decision, therefore you're going to continue, your decision is to continue with what you have, which you already know is not the best thing to do for your business. So again, all I want you to do is act in your own self-interest. Is it in your self-interest to consult with attorneys who know nothing about this, who therefore will probably say, well, then I don't think you should do it, because what do they know about production equipment or, you know, this or tax, you know, all this other stuff. Could be whatever you're selling. What do they know about it? But in either case, I'm not calling back because we're not going to have nothing to talk about because, you know, the only thing I want to talk about right now is the decision of whether or not you want to go forward with this. In general, that's the direction I'm going to take that. I'm not going to put up with that crap at the end of my call. Here's the deal. To win a negotiation, you have to be willing to walk away, or you can't win a negotiation. If you can't walk away, the other person owns you and you're a slave. Are you willing to live like a slave? You have to be willing to walk. I will walk. Okay? I will tell them, hey, I'm not going to call back next week. I don't think so. I'm busy. Matter of fact, it's been nice chatting with you, but, you know, I have a mandate from my boss to bring in another company this week, and it doesn't look like that you're going to make a decision, so I guess we have nothing to talk about. Well, I didn't say I was going to make a decision. Well, you're making a decision to not make a decision. You want a week to think about something. There's no you have the information you have right now to make a decision. CEOs make decisions, so make one. Are you willing to do that, yes or no, Sandy? Let me answer your question for you. You're not willing to do that because you told me all these people are stalling you all day long. So obviously you're not willing to do that, are you? Do you think it's in your self-interest to play along with that because you don't want to piss the guy off? Do you think if they don't piss you off that you'll make money that way? That's why you act that way. You think this will hurt you. Here's what's going to happen. Out of five people, two will get pissed off. One will just sit there dumbfounded like a moron, and two will make a decision. Okay? One might say no or yes, who cares, right? But at least you'll get decisions out of them. Very likely, by the way, they might appreciate your attitude because that's how they got to be a CEO. They're going to like that because you're making a decision, you're forcing a decision. They can appreciate that. And you've earned the right to ask that decision, and by standing your ground, you're due respect. If you don't stand your ground, they disrespect you. Now you're a puppy dog that they can stall and, oh, I'll come back next week. Oh, I thought about it. I don't know if I want to do this. Come back next week. Haha, here's Sandy again calling back. Watch this. Well, Sandy, I don't know. Why don't you send me another proposal? Blah, 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 blah. You get the idea? So my question is, are you willing to walk?
I'm going to walk away.
If you're willing to walk away, you probably won't have to. That's how it works. By behaving that way in the first place, you probably won't need to walk away. And that's the strength of character required to play these games.
Talking about when you ask them to make a decision up front, where would you say is the best part to drop that in? Like right after you give them the hook, or I mean, when you don't say it right off the bat. I mean, when's
right off the bat, as soon as they agree that they're going to give me some time, right?
Okay.
If it's like a cold call and I have to first explain what I got, and I have that first 30 seconds to sell the time I need to do my presentation, then I'm not going to do it there. But as soon as I know that I'm going to have the time to do the presentation, or especially if I'm setting an appointment, I would wait till the appointment starts. I say, you know, Greg, I'm really happy that you had a few minutes to spend with me today. And I just want to tell you up front that, look, I'm not a salesperson. I'm not going to try to sell you anything. In my experience, it's a waste of time to try to. All I want to know from you is that this is in the best interest of your company. Blah, 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 blah. And at the end, just tell me yes or no. I just don't like maybes. Is that a deal? In exchange for that, Greg, I'm not going to sit there and put exclamation points on every word I have and try to hype it. I'm just going to tell you what I got, very simply answer all your questions so you can make a good decision for your company. And we'll both be adults. How's that work for you?
Good.
I don't want to waste time.
That's after your opening statement and after your pre-qualify or whatever. That's where I put it just now in my presentation when you were talking. I wrote it in.
Right after.
You got to give them some idea what you want to talk to them about before you ask them to make a decision, correct?
Well, of course. Right after they're hooked and they're going to give you the time to make your presentation.
Okay.
Right at the beginning. Once you get to that point, say, okay, so we got some time. That's great. So to make best use of this time, I have an idea. How about if I don't try to talk you into doing things and try not to sell you things? How about if we just find out if this works for your business, and you could tell me yes or no that it works? How's that? This way I don't have to try to be something I'm not, because I don't like salespeople calling me up and trying to sell me things either. You know, we're all buying and selling our service. I buy my, sell my service. You have your service. You're buying and selling, right? So I'll just skip to the chase. I'll just tell you what I got. You tell me yes or no. I just don't want to maybe. Is that a deal? Something along that line. Okay?
Hey, Paul, if at the end he does say no, and you know it's in their best interest, are you allowed to them ask them, you know, what makes you think it's not in your best interest at this point?
Okay, I say I appreciate your decision. And as you agreed, you gave me your decision. You don't have to answer, but I'm just curious if you can tell me just from my own background, how did you come by that decision, if you can just, you know, and then we're done. I'll hang up if you want. And I'm not going to try to reverse your decision. I'm just a little curious of how you came to that conclusion, because I thought this would obviously be a winner for you. So I'm really kind of, you know, dumbfounded here of how you can come up with that. But, you know, I'll respect your decision. I mean, if you just make a reasonable request, human being to human being, you'll probably get a reasonable response, all I'm trying to tell you. Instead of trying to memorize the lines, memorize the intent. My intent is to help them. All I want to do is be honest with them so they can be honest with me, because I don't have time for all these games either. I'm admitting up front that there's no possible way, by the way, that I can talk other people into doing things. I can't. I have 93 closes in my book. And I'm telling you right now that I can't talk people into doing things. I can help people do what they know they should do, but they're going to make up their own decision. People aren't stupid. And how in the hell can I call a guy on the phone to talk him into anything? Is that possible? The guy's a CEO of a company. I'm asking for money or, you know, buy-in or time. And they're not going to do that unless they want to do it. It's just that simple. So why bother trying? And by trying, you just make yourself look like an idiot. Right? A whole fundamentally different approach. So once you wrap your head around that, everything else is easy. Your mission is to serve people, not to hustle them. And most salespeople have this mistaken notion, and they are hustlers. Have a nice life. Go out there and hustle people further. That's great. That's wonderful. If that's how you want to live, if you think that's a good way to live, then go do it. I personally don't think it's a good way to live. I think you'll get better results sincerely trying to help other people. And the first step in that is only selling for a company you believe in that has a good product that you buy yourself. Calling up the right people, spending a lot of effort and learning the process and learning the product, making an honest approach, and facilitating the decision-making, and then living by that. Respect their decisions. Don't try to talk them out of it. If they're making a rational decision, then respect it. Say, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. By the way, is there anybody else you think this may help? He may have a motivation or a condition that you don't know about and he doesn't want to discuss. But he might really like your product or service, but just, you know, flat doesn't. I'll tell you why. He's leaving the company in a month. He's not telling anybody. He's divorcing his wife and moving, and he doesn't want to make this investment right now, right in the middle of it. He's not going to tell you that. But what he'll do is he'll give you five names of people he wants for you to call about your product. You never know what's going on in their head. So why try? It's just that simple. Who are you to tell someone else what to do with their money? It's pretty presumptuous, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I've been selling for a long time, and that's the conclusion I came to, is that I'm an expert at what I do. I'm authoritative. I don't waste people's time, and people like that. I'm not trying to hustle them, and they like that. I speak their language, get way better results doing that than any other game you could play. A true professional will act like one. Serve others first, even at your own expense. You serve the client first, even if they have to say no. You might serve them best even by sending them to a competitor who could better serve them. If that's the case, send your customer there and follow them there. Quit. Go work for the competitor. Literally. I put that right in my book. It's almost like your duty. If you could find a better company, you should quit and go work for them. Personally, I only want to represent companies who are the best at what they do. I don't have to worry about what my competitors are doing. I could care less.